Hello and welcome to the Dune Minute Podcast, your place to dive deep minute by minute into the cinematic adaptation of Frank Herbert's World of Dune. I'm one of your hosts, John. Zach is yawning right now.
Sorry, I'm Zach. That was poorly timed on my part.
That was the worst time to yawn.
I'm sorry.
All right, well, let's get into this. We're talking about minute 138 through minute 139.
Yes, we are, and we are picking right back up where we left off.
We're so close to the end of this movie, Zach.
I know.
It's crazy.
I know. We still got a lot of big stuff happening.
We do, including today, actually.
Yeah, even though I don't have a lot of notes for today.
I don't either, but it's still important yeah. Because this is, I believe, our last moment of prescience, our last waking dream of this movie.
Yep, I believe so.
So let's get into it.
Yeah.
Yesterday we ended with Jameis invoking the Omtal against Jessica, but Stilgar tried to stop everything, saying that he will not challenge a Sayyadina, in which case Jameis says, who will fight in her name? Stilgar, being the sassy bitch that he is, tries to talk Jameis down. Jameis hits us with the coolest line in the movie: then the sun will witness this death.
Yep.
Where is her champion? Paul steps forward. We start the minute with Jameis saying, I accept her champion. Paul kind of has that sad look on his face as Jameis turns and walks away.
So this little bit right here.
Yeah.
Paul did not agree to this. he stepped forward, does not.
It's pretty implied because he goes from behind Stilgar, and
there's a close up on Paul here, which I hope that you used. Maybe you didn't. I don't know, for the thumbnail. If you've made these yet, if you haven't,
I've made the thumbnail. I'm trying to remember what it was for this. No, my thumbnail is from The Waking Dream.
Okay, cool.
It's a very specific shot from The Waking Dream.
There's a shot of Paul. Right after Jameis, like, you know, accepts.
Yep.
He looks so much like Kyle MacLachlan.
Yeah.
So much.
This whole sequence from the time that they move into the canyon.
Yeah.
Until the end.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's just because he's got, like, the messy hair and everything. I think so.
I'm just a young Kyle MacLachlan.
Yeah.
Handsome man.
Beautiful man. Even, have you seen him lately?
Yeah.
Like, you watched Fallout?
Yeah. Yeah. He's aged
aged beautifully.
Paul looks so much like Kyle MacLachlan did in the 84 Lynch movie.
Yeah.
Here. The most that he ever has. And
less product in his hair, but.
sure. Well, it was the 80s, man.
Yeah. Everyone just had fucking hairspray like crazy, and we were blowing a hole in the ozone. Let's go.
Absolutely. I thought it looked so much, and there's even like, it's like the camera angle is a little bit below the eye line, kind of looking up into Paul's face.
Yeah.
And I think that they had that exact same shot of Kyle MacLachlan in the 84.
There's a very similar shot.
Yeah. Yeah. So, If it wasn't intentional, it was a lovely unintentional, like,
I would homage. Like to think that it was a love note to Lynch Dune, but who knows?
It was just really good. Even though it's been a couple of months since I've seen the 84 movie, as soon as I saw that shot of Paul, I was like, that's Kyle MacLachlan right there.
Gotta love it.
Yep. So we get a shot of the sun rising over the rock face. And then we get a bunch of Fremen kind of taking their seats, getting ready for this action.
Jameis is pacing back and forth. Jameis, you know what Jameis looks like to me is like, I don't know if you've ever just been walking on, you know, a sidewalk or whatever, and then there's a house where there's a dog is just running around in the yard or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was growing up, I used to go on runs a lot. And there was this house that I would always run by where the sidewalk was right up against their fence. And they had this like German Shepherd or whatever that was just always in the yard and always pissed off at anyone that got remotely close. Rightly so, sure. to his territory and everything.
Yeah.
And he would just like back and forth against the fence, just like a, almost like a shark.
Yeah.
And I got that same exact vibe from Jameis here, where he's just like hyping himself up, mm-hmm. ready to like fucking throw down and everything.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, all the other Fremen are getting their popcorn and their hot dogs. Yeah, exactly. And just like, oh shit.
Fighting for the best seats.
Get front row seats, baby.
See, I took that as a little bit different of a comparison. My mind went to the Duel of the Fates scene in Star Wars, where Darth Maul and Qui-Gon Jinn are fighting with the like laser barriers or whatever.
Yeah.
There's that moment where they get cut off from each other. Qui-Gon sits down. Yep. And he's like, you know, meditating. He's
meditating, and Maul's fucking.
He's like pacing back and forth, just like Jameis is doing here.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's where my mind.
I mean, went. If you want to draw that comparison, Paul is kind of meditating against the wall of the canyon. He's got his hand on the wall, and he's wearing the ducal signet.
Yeah, that's very. He's
kind of looking at that, thinking about everything.
Yeah. And that is what Paul is doing right now. He's off kind of collecting himself.
Before we get too into Paul, I do want to note Jameis still has his Chris knife out.
Yep.
He's still, you know, keeping to tradition.
He has not bloodied it yet. Yeah. So he cannot put it away.
I do love how Jameis's Chris knife almost has like it's like a straight blade, and then it has that like curve.
Mm-hmm.
About halfway up. I forget what those kind of knives are called.
I don't know.
But it's very reminiscent of those.
Okay. They're all unique.
Yeah. They are teeth of Shai Hulud.
So Jameis has lost his robe at this point. He's thrown it off, and he's just in the still suit.
Yep.
Just a deviation from the book. He actually removes his still suit in the book. For this fight. I guess I don't want to damage the still suit. You know, always practical.
Look, if you're going to possibly get stabbed, don't ruin the hardware.
Yeah, exactly. Someone else can use that.
Yeah.
So we get the close-up of Paul's hand against the rock and the ducal signet. And he's like staring at this thing hard, man. He is concentrating on the ring. And that is our cue that we are transported into another waking dream.
Yes, we see flashes of light in our final moment of prescience.
Yep.
As Paul is witnessing the coming fight. But in this coming fight, Jameis is the one that bests Paul.
Yep. Well, don't give it away.
This whole podcast is assuming you have watched part one and part two.
I know.
Come on, Zach.
Yeah, they're like exchanging some blows, but Paul gets got, man.
Paul gets got hard. Like, and one thing I want to point out too is Paul gets got hard in a very specific location, mm-hmm. in his lower left abdomen.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if you know, is where Paul also gets got in part two.
Oh,
by
yeah.
By Fade Rotha.
Yeah. Oh, well, if you want to talk about, we'll talk about this a lot, but like there are very, very strong comparisons to the fight that we're about to see between Jameis
Paul and saving a lot of those for next week because we actually see them next week. Yeah. But that is an observation that I made, and there was someone that I was talking to who insisted that Paul had been stabbed in the chest when fighting Fade Rotha, and that's not actually the case. He's stabbed basically in the spleen, which is still not a good place to get stabbed. No, you get stabbed in the top right and in the spleen.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a not ideal place to be stabbed.
No. Not that there is one, but that one is particularly
bad. If I had
bad.
To pick a place to be stabbed, I'd probably be like the calf.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Just through the muscle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just make sure the blade goes between the two leg bones so that way, you know, it's only flesh wounds I have to heal.
Don't like this. Okay. Anyways.
Yeah. I've been stabbed a lot, though.
Yeah. You have tattoos.
Yeah.
Thousands and thousands of times.
Yeah. Whenever I tell people I'm going to go get a tattoo, I just tell them I'm going to go get stabbed several hundred thousand times.
So Paul gets got and he falls down. And we get, as it wouldn't be a waking dream if we didn't have a cacophony of voices.
It's a singular voice.
Well, we get multiple voices.
One voice.
was, no, there's two voices that we hear. They're separate. I know it's a single voice that we're hearing.
It's the same voice.
One is like a young woman. One's an old woman.
It's always the old woman.
I thought it sounded young at first. Okay.
There's two things that you hear. You hear Paul's grunt, which is very abruptly cut off, by the way.
Yeah.
And then you hear the old woman's voice. And she says, Paul Atreides must die for Kwisatz Haderach to rise.
Yeah.
Don't be frightened. Don't resist.
Yep. And Paul's like on the ground clutching his side where he got stabbed.
Yep.
And
in slow motion.
Yeah. This is in like a dreamscape kind of thing. Yeah. Jameis starts to help Paul.
Shout out DJ. Yeah. DJ Jameis.
He starts to help Paul up and I hate to do this to you.
And we know it's DJ because he's got the bloodied Chris knife in his hand.
Yep. And I hate to do this, but this is one of the few times where the minute ends in the middle of a word.
Yep.
So we just get the of the next sentence and it ends right there.
Well, what does that lead to? You'll have to come back tomorrow for a Friday episode of the Dune Minute Podcast.
That's right.
Fucking killing the segues on today's episode, by the way. You set up the fucking Darth Maul Qui-Gon thing perfectly. And I was like, oh, this is, I gotta fucking just do this.
Hey, our two brain cells are working together.
Like passing ships.
Yep. I forget where I heard this, but someone was trying to say that phrase like ships in the night
kind
of thing. But they couldn't exactly remember it. And he said, man, we're like two fucking boats.
People in glass houses sink ships.
Yeah. All right. I don't have a lot of book notes for this one because it's very, very different in the books.
All right. Well, we'll save all your book commentary for tomorrow's episode then.
Yeah. I'm trying to think if I have anything else for the week. I've kind of been sprinkling in a lot of the stuff that I was going to talk about as we've been talking. But yeah, I don't know. It's this fight scene is so important in the books. And I think I need to talk about it when we actually see them fighting.
All right.
So that might be a next week thing. So
yeah, I was going to say, spoilers, it's not tomorrow's episode. No. So,
all right, cool. Let's wrap this one up and meet back here tomorrow for a Friday episode
of the Dune Minute Podcast. As always, you can find us online on Instagram. We are at the Dune Minute. On Blue Sky, we are at Dune Minute. And you can email duneminute@gmail.com if you'd like to get in touch with us there. Have a great rest of your day. We will see you to wrap this week up tomorrow.
All right. See ya.